Also, Friday there is a homeschool meeting, isn't there? 12 o'clock Friday, amen, at church. So remember that in prayer also, amen. All right, take your Bibles, turn us to the book of Genesis, chapter number 5. Back to the beginnings, amen. We'll answer prayer requests today with Miss Jennifer. Boy, that's a blessing, ain't it, amen? That stint, I know it was something they've been praying about a while, and the Lord answered it, and thank the Lord for it. Amen. We unexpectedly, amen, but kind of expecting, got a grandbaby this morning, amen. So thank the Lord for that. It's about 11 days earlier than what they said, but, you know, they just kind of guesswork and all that stuff. And so the Lord brought it in. Everybody's healthy, so God's good, amen. Let's pray to God to save her at a young age if he tarries, amen. He don't get us all out of here before all that. Genesis chapter number 5. Amen. Continue, keep Miss West in your prayers with what she's battling with some sicknesses. Brother Terry, and I ain't got the mic on. Brother Terry, is he's still fighting his COVID and getting this thing behind him, amen. A lot of prayer requests this morning, this afternoon in our prayer room, so keep all these things in your prayer, amen. Genesis 5. We'll read the first 5 verses, and then we'll start right there, amen. Genesis chapter 5, verse number 1. What's the first word there? The Bible says, this is the book of the generations of Adam. In the day that God created man, in the likeness of God, made he him. Male and female created he them, and blessed them, and called their name Adam, in the day that they were created. And Adam lived 130 years and begat a son in his own likeness after his image and called his name Seth. And we know that Adam has already had 2 previous children, Cain and Abel, and Cain rose up and slew his brother. Now this third child is born. The Bible says in verse 4, the days of Adam after he had begotten Seth were 800 years, and he begat sons and daughters. And all the days that Adam lived were 930 years, and he died. Amen. So let's ask the Lord's help tonight in our Bible study. Brother D, how about pray for us? Yes, thank you, Lord. Amen. As we've said several times in our study of the book of Genesis, we started back in chapter 1, of course, where it started, in the beginning God. There's a lot of Genesises with an S in the Bible, in the book of Genesis. That means beginnings, in the beginning. There's a lot of beginnings, amen, how God started things, and we're calling them foundational truths that you can build your life on. Amen. What the problem is, the Bible says that the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? And what the world is trying to do, and of course being infiltrated and influenced by the devil, is trying to destroy the foundations. And a lot of foundational principles that God has laid out in the beginning, if people would just pick up the Word of God and start where God started writing this thing, amen, it has helped their lives out in a lot of ways. And so in Genesis chapter number 5, I've kind of broken the chapter down into 3 sections, just like we've done all the last 4 as far as teaching is concerned. There's a lot of sections within the book of this 31 verses, but we're breaking it down like this. In verses 1 through 5, I'm calling this the Genesis of separation. The Genesis of separation. When God started this thing, amen, he put Adam and Eve out in a garden, separated them away from everything, that the influence of the devil, until the devil showed up and began to influence them. And they were separated. They were walking with God, living right, living clean, until the fall took place. And then Cain shows up and he rises up against his brother. And a lot of evil influences begin to happen in the world. Amen. You know how it happens? Amen. It happens with an individual, with Adam and Eve, and then it rolls over into the family, and then it begins to spread in generations. And that's how sin is. It doesn't lay dormant anywhere. It got in Adam and Eve, then it got in Adam and Eve's family and their children, then it got in other family and siblings after that. And now we're looking at
the results of the fall of mankind today, how sin is just tumbling down like a snowball down a hill and just gaining speed. There's a lot of sin going on. But even though Canaan went evil, God has raised up another child through Adam and Eve, and his name is Seth. The Bible said, if you look back in chapter 4, look in verse number 25. And Adam knew his wife again after Cain and Abel had been born. And she bare a son and called his name Seth. For God said she, here's what she said, hath appointed me another seed instead of Abel, whom Cain slew. The Bible said in verse 26, and to Seth, to him also there was born a son, and he called his name Enos. Then began men to call upon the name of the Lord. Even though Cain, and you see a lot of wickedness associated with Cain, and the Bible speaks of him being of that wicked one, hey, God gave Adam and Eve another child. His name was Seth. And then Seth begot Enos. And the Bible makes this statement in the end of chapter 4. Then began men to call upon the name of the Lord. In other words, if you were, they've separated himself away from that evil influence that's going on. And so we'll look at these first five verses under that subject of separation. Men began to call on the name of Lord. Enos means a moral man. Amen. He was moral. He lived right. And amen. We need some people to just live right and live moral and separate themselves away from the world. Amen. Hey, the Bible says, wherefore come ye out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. The world has an influence on you and it wants to pull you down its ways of darkness. But God wants us to separate away from that darkness and live in the light. Amen. Then we'll look at verse 6 through 27, and I got this under the heading of the generation of fellowship. So there's a generation of separation. You separate yourself away from the world. Then there's a generation of fellowship. This is where you find Enoch. He walked with God and he was not. He had a fellowship with God. You know God's not going to fellowship with wickedness. Amen. When you begin to separate yourself away from the wickedness of this world, then you can walk with the Lord. The Bible said, how can two walk together except they be agreed? Amen. You got to separate yourself away from this world, and then you begin to fellowship with the Lord. Amen. And walk with him as Enoch did. And then we'll look at later on in verse 28 through the remainder of the chapter in verse 32 in the generation of service. This is where God raises up Noah, and then we go into Noah building the ark in chapter number 6. And so separation leads to fellowship, which leads to service with the Lord. Amen. That's pretty simple, ain't it? You separate yourself away from the world. You make yourself a vessel of honor instead of a vessel of dishonor. 2 Timothy chapter number 2. Hey, then you can begin to walk with the Lord and fellowship with the Lord the way God wanted in the beginning with Adam and Eve, walking with the Lord in the garden in the cool of the day. They were separated from all wickedness then. They were perfect and right before the Lord. Amen. Hey, but if you live, separate yourself from the way from this world, hey, begin to walk with the Lord in fellowship, then God will call you in the service to do something for him just as he did with Noah. And we'll see it as we study these individuals. Let me read you this little comment right here about this section of scriptures in verse 1 through 5. The Holy Spirit recognizes only two genuine genealogies that are to be recorded in a book. The first Adam and the last Adam. The last Adam is of course, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 45, the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Amen. Whose genealogy is given to us in Matthew 1. And we'll look at this in a minute. I'm just kind of giving you a little brief introduction of what we're going to talk about tonight. So there's the generation of Adam that we're looking at. This is the book of the generation of Adam, chapter 5, verse 1. And what you'll read, if you read all those 32 verses, is the generations of Adam. How Adam begat Seth, and Seth begat Enos, and Enos begat so-and-so, and so-and-so begat so-and-so. And these generations, in every case, everyone gets up to a certain age and they die. This is the book of the generations. So you got the generations of Adam, but you also got in the Bible in Matthew chapter 1, the generations of Jesus Christ. Amen. The second Adam, according to 1 Corinthians chapter number 15. So he goes on to say, even though everyone in this list dies, amen, even in Matthew chapter number 1, they all die. It's not recorded that they die. It's only recorded that they die in chapter 5. You know, we know that when you read, I'm kind of getting ahead of myself. There's Genesis chapter number 5. There's a generation of the generations from Adam. And they live and live and have children and then they die. And then they have their children have children and then they die. Hey, just the same way me and you, amen, how we get here. Hey, grandparents that were here, great-grandparents, and they died. And then a grandparent was here and then a child was here. And then grandchildren from those children and the generations just die off. And in the Bible, there's a record of the book of genealogies over here in chapter 5 of Adam, and they all die. In Matthew chapter number 1, there's the genealogies of Jesus Christ, how he got here from the birth of someone else. And we know they all die. But in Matthew, it doesn't say that they die, because he's given a little spiritual insight that through Christ Jesus, we all live, but through Adam, we all die. Amen. It's got a lot to do with the new birth. So you see this going on. All those who are in Adam die, and they died every one, every three verses. If you read it, if you go back and read it, every three verses someone's died, except when you get to Enoch. He walked with God and he was not, for the Lord took him. And what is Enoch? Back in the Genesis, the beginning of things. Hey, man, you see right here a foundational truth that God one day is going to snatch somebody out of this old world. Amen. We know it is the truth in the New Testament because we got the complete revelation of the old and the new. That what he's talking about, Enoch is a type of you and I, the church age. How Jesus is going to step out of the cloud and call us home one day. We're going to walk with the Lord and sup with the Lord. And one day we're going to be not, because God's going to take us out of here. And so you see that with here with Enoch. With everybody else, you see them dying off. Amen. That shows you the truth. Amen. That when the rapture takes place, there are going to be some people living here that will never face death. Amen. They're going to be gone. Amen. So we see. Let me get back to where I was at. All those who are in Adam die in every three verses. Boy, my eyes are bad tonight. I should have brought my glasses. I'm telling you, that's blurry. I got another grandbaby today, and I can't even see. What are these? 2-0? Let me try them, amen. Bifocals. I don't know if that helped. Well, that's even worse. All right, there you go. That bifocals thing's tricky. I'd rather not have that, amen. All right, amen. Let's see if I can do this. They died again. Verse 8, they die. Verse 11, they die. Verse 14, they die. Verse 17, they die. The only exception is Enoch, because he's the type of the rapture. All of Adam's descendants are dead in trespasses and sin, according to Ephesians chapter number 2. All them must be born again. None of them that are born, no one is ever born again between the first Adam and the last Adam, which is Jesus Christ, which means there's nobody born again in the Old Testament. Amen. They're right with God. They're serving God by the law, but there's no new birth. There's no body to get into because Jesus Christ is not here. When you get born again in the New Testament, hey, you get placed into the body of Christ. And people have trouble with that. I don't know how you have much trouble with it. Hey, there's no body to get into. God prepared him a body, amen, in A.D. 33, whatever you want to guess, whenever he showed up somewhere around here, amen. Jesus Christ showed up this world about 2,000 years ago. Hey, time even changed. Hey, they were counting backwards to Jesus. When he got here, they began to count forward. When Jesus shows up, a lot of things straighten out, amen. But he showed up, and now there's a body to get into. But in Adam, there's death. But in Christ, there's life. That's the simple truth that's there, amen. There's life in Jesus Christ. Amen. The new birth, the new body. Amen. There is no new birth in the Old Testament. The prodigal son, although he was a son, was dead and is alive again. That's what it says in the New Testament. There is a son of Abraham in hell before the crucifixion. Amen. And the Christ rejecting Jews of Christ's day, who are the children of the kingdom, do not get to come into the kingdom when it comes. So there's a difference. Amen. There's a dispensational truth. Amen. But there's some Genesis truths back here we can find with Adam. Amen. Adam, amen, had a son, Seth, which gives an indication of a life that lives separate away from this world. Now, I want to start off by saying this. Amen. I'm not talking about Seth's line being what a lot of people call a godly line. A lot of people use Seth's line as a godly line. And they use that for a purpose when you'll see when we get to chapter 6, when the sons of God lay with the daughters of men, and there's men of renown on the earth. There's a lot of bestiality going on. There's a lot of corruptness going on in Noah's day. That's why God flooded and destroyed this thing. And by the way, God said, at the coming of the Son of Man, it'll be like the days of Noah. Amen. There's some wickedness going on. And a lot of people like to make Seth a godly line, so that makes the sons of God in chapter 6 that's laying with the daughters of men, the generations of Seth. But it just ain't going to work out because there's no such thing as a godly line. Amen. Everybody is all born in sin. Amen. The only thing that makes us godly is the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, which puts us back into, we'll see tonight, the image of God himself. So there's no godly line. But what you will see in Genesis chapter number 5, when he's giving you the genealogy of Adam through Seth, you'll find that there's a Messiah line. Amen. Hey, the Messiah comes through these genealogy, and it rolls on over to Matthew chapter number 1, which we'll see in a minute, which is the generations of Jesus Christ. Hey, so look in chapter 5, verse 1. This is the book of the generations of Adam. The book of the generations of Adam. Now, we've said this back in the introduction to the book of Genesis. There's 10 times in the book of Genesis you see the phrase, these are the generations of. The generations of. You'll see the generations of all kind of people that are born. That phrase is found 10 times in the book of Genesis. But when you come to chapter 5, he's not talking about this is the generation of. He says this is the book of the generations. The book of the generations. Hey, what book is he speaking of? When he speaks in that term, in that phrase, this is the book of the generations of Adam, that phrase is found twice in your Bible, and one of them here, and the other one is the one we've been speaking about, Matthew chapter number 1. The book of the generations of. And God's trying to show you when you pick up your Old Testament, and I flip to Genesis chapter number 5. This is the book of the generations of. And I see the generations of Adam through Seth. And I see everybody in that book of generations die. And I flip straight over to my New Testament. If you've done it tonight, we'll do it in just a minute. And the first book in your New Testament is the book of Matthew, right? In chapter 1, the Bible starts off just like chapter 5 here. This is the book of the generations of Jesus Christ. And nobody in that line speaks of dying. Now, we know they all die. But for some reason, the Holy Ghost left out them dying, but he put them over here in Genesis chapter number 5 saying that they die. Hey, what's the Holy Ghost trying to show us a truth here? That the first Adam, amen, hey, brings death to this world, but the second Adam, Jesus Christ, brings life to this world. And the book of the generations brings death through Adam, but the book of the generations through Christ brings life to this world. Hey, everybody is either in Adam or in Christ. Amen. This is the book of the generations of. Amen. Amen. Look in Matthew chapter number 1. Let's just lay your eyes on it. Matthew chapter number 1. It's not hard to get back to Genesis 5. So I flip to my New Testament. What's God trying to show us here? Matthew 1, Genesis 5. When the first time God begins to describe the genealogy of someone, he speaks of them dying through the that's been influenced or infiltrated with the sin nature through the fall of Adam. Matthew chapter number 5, look in verse number. The book of the generations of what? Jesus Christ. You see that phrase? The book of the generations. It's only twice. Chapter 1, verse 1. What'd I say? Chapter 5. Chapter 5, Genesis. Matthew chapter 1. Well, my eyes is bad and my mind's going. But thank God I know I'm in Jesus Christ. Because I was one with Adam. So the book of the generations of Jesus Christ. Twice, once in Matthew 1 and the other one in Genesis chapter number 5. Amen. Hey, one starts at the beginning of the Old Testament, and the other generation of the book of the generation starts in the first book in the New Testament. Hey, one of them that brings forth death, and the other one brings forth life. Hey, just as we said, if you look back to Genesis chapter number 5, every 3 verses somebody's dying. Amen. Hey, one's bringing death, the other one's bringing life. Hey, you know what Adam brought to this world when he punished the world into sin? He brought death to this world. Amen. Hey, for the wages of sin is death. Amen. How you know you're a sinner? You die. Yeah. You say, I ain't a sinner. Well, you're going to live forever then. You better wake up. You're a sinner and you're heading to death. Amen. As soon as you're born, you're heading to death. Amen. This old body's breaking down. We're not evolving like the evolutionists say. Amen. Hey, mankind in his pure state is born in this old world. And then as he grows, he's headed towards death. Amen. He's headed downward. So there's two genealogies, two books of generations. One brings life, one brings death. Hey, one is associated with the first Adam, the other one is associated with the second Adam. You say, why do you call him the second Adam? Look in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians 15. The second Adam. Hey, what did Jesus Christ ultimately come to do? Well, we know he came into his own and his own received him not, John 1. Hey, you know what he came to do? He came to correct what the first Adam brought.
Amen.
Amen. Hey, by the way, the first Adam, Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, hey, you know where they fell? They fell in a garden.
Yeah, amen.
Hey, later on, 4,000 years later, Jesus Christ showed up this world and he started his victory and triumphant walk over Satan in a garden. Hey, you don't think God's got this thing all together? Yeah. Hey, God's trying to show you a very, very simple truth that I'm making a little bit more difficult than it should, but I'm hoping the Holy Ghost will enlighten you on what I'm speaking about tonight. Hey, that first Adam, amen, brought sin in this world in the garden. That second Adam showed up sinless, the Son of God, and came to correct what the first Adam did, and he started his triumphant victory towards the cross in the Garden of Gethsemane when his sweat became his great drops of blood.
Amen.
The second Adam corrected what the first Adam brought.
Amen.
Look at this, 1 Corinthians chapter number 15. Look what the Bible says in verse number 45. 1 Corinthians 15, 45. The Bible says, and so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last Adam was made a quickening what?
Spirit.
Now who's that last Adam? He's different than that first Adam.
Yeah.
Amen. Hey, one's made a living soul. The other one's made a quickening spirit. Amen. Hey, you know what God did? You know what happened when Adam sinned? The Bible said, the day you eat thereof, you shall surely die. He was in that garden. He ate of the forbidden fruit. He disobeyed the words of God. He listened more to the influence of his wife than he did God's words. And he took of that forbidden fruit and he died. Just like God said. You'll say, but he lived 900 and something years. Hey, how did he die? Hey, God said, the day you eat thereof, you shall surely die. When did God say you're going to die? The day you eat thereof. He didn't die when he ate. Or did he die? You better believe he died. God can't lie. It's impossible for God to lie, right? Amen. So God didn't lie. What did he do? Did he die? Yes, he died. When God formed man out of the dust of the ground, there's his body. That's what you got right here tonight. God breathed into his nostrils. There was the Spirit of God. And man became a living soul. He's a triune being, just like God. We'll see in a minute. Made in the image of God. Amen. He had a body, soul, and a spirit. And when he took of that forbidden fruit, he died spiritually. And then 900 years afterward, amen, you see him recorded of his death at 930 years of age, whatever it might be, we'll look in a minute. His body died, but his spirit died the day that he took of the forbidden fruit. Hey, you know what Jesus Christ come to do? He come to fix that dead spirit that's in me and you.
Amen.
Hey, we were born in this world. We're still alive in the flesh.
Yeah,
hey, we got a soul that's either going to heaven or hell. But the problem is we got a dead spirit.
Amen.
That's why we don't understand the things of God. That's why we don't want nothing to do with the things of God. There's something that God put inside the creation of man that desires God, but he don't know how to find it.
Amen.
That's why the Bible said in Ephesians 2, and you who were dead in sins, that he quickened. God's made him alive. That second Adam became a quickening spirit.
Yeah, amen.
Look in verse number 46. Howbeit that was not first, which is spiritual, but that which is natural, and afterward that which is what?
Spiritual.
So one was natural. Who's the one that's natural? Adam, the first Adam. But the one that's spiritual is the second Adam. He's showing the contrast between the two. Verse 47, the first man is of the earth, earthly. The second man, the Lord, is from what? Heaven.
Hey, so Adam was natural, but the Lord was from heaven because he was God manifest in the flesh. As verse 28, as is the earthly, such are they also that are earthly. And as is the heavenly, such are they also that are heavenly. And as we have borne the image of the earthly, so shall we also bear the image of the what? Heavenly. Chapter 5 is the resurrection chapter. There's two lines here. Two books of generations. One of the first, one of the second Adam. Amen. These two books make up all of mankind. Everybody's in these books. Look in Romans chapter number 5. Romans 5. Everybody's in these books. Right before the book of Corinthians there. Romans chapter number 5. Romans 5, look in verse number 12. The Bible says, wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world. Who'd that come from? That came from Adam, right? And death by sin. Sin brings forth death. And so death is passed upon all men, for that all have what? Sin. You know, when you were born, you know what you were born in? You were born in the image of that first Adam. Look in verse number 13. For unto the law sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed where there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that is to come. But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, that's the deeds of Adam, right? We're dying. Much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man Jesus Christ, have abounded unto many. Hey, what is happening here? The New Testament is trying to very clearly show us that there's a generation in the book of Adam that people are dying in. Hey, but this man Jesus Christ brought forth life, and if you can get out of Adam into Jesus Christ, your life can be changed and quickened and came back. Come back to life.
Amen.
Look what he says in verse number 16. He says, and not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift. For the judgment was by one to condemnation, but the free gift is of many offenses unto what? Justification. Verse 17. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more which they which receive abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness shall reign by in life by one Jesus Christ. Therefore, as by the offense of one judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one the free gift came unto all men unto justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the all obedience of one shall many be made righteous. So there's a generation that's in Adam and there's a generation that's in Christ. Hey, everybody is in one of the books of generations. Look back in 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians 15. You know what happened? You were born in this world lost.
Amen.
And you were born in the generation of Adam. But Jesus Christ came to put you in His book of generations. And if you receive His Son, He can quicken your spirit, bring back the light, what's dead inside of you, and put you in the right book. Amen. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter number 5, 15. 1 Corinthians 15, look in verse number 22, I believe it is. 21, we'll start there. 15, 21. The Bible says, well, look at verse 20. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruit of them that slept. For since by man came what? Death. That's obviously that first Adam, right? By man came also the resurrection of the dead.
Yeah.
That's obviously the second Adam, Jesus Christ. Listen, verse 22. For as in Adam all what? Just like Genesis 5. Even so in Christ shall all be made what? The difference is what book you're in. There's a book that's in death, that's in Adam, but there's a book that's in Christ, which is alive. Amen. Hey, which justifies instead of condemns. Amen. Hey, you're in Adam or you're in Christ. Hey, look back in Genesis chapter number 5. Let's look at this thing. Genesis 5. How does this thing work? Genesis 5. That thing ringing a little bit? Genesis 5. Verse number 1. This is the book of the generations of Adam. In the day that God created man. Look at this. The book of the generations of Adam. In the day that God created man, in the likeness of God made he him. Now pay attention to the wording. Created man. That's past tense, right? He created him in God's image. He made him that way. Verse 2. Male and female created, past tense, God speaking of, he them. And blessed them. Also again, past tense. And called their name Adam in the day that they were created. God created Adam in his likeness. What is God's likeness? Look back in Genesis 1. Remember this? Genesis 1. Look in verse 27. God created him. The Bible says in Genesis 1, 27, look at verse 26. And God said, let us. Who's in the beginning with God? Let us. That's more than one. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. That's John 1, 1. A lot of these things going back to 1, 1, back to over here, to Genesis in the beginning. That New Testament shows a lot of insight about some of those things in that Old Testament. It's opening up the veil that's over the eyes of those Jews. We got it today through the New Testament, through Jesus Christ, the mediator of the New Testament. He's the one that brought the light to our soul. Amen. So, hey, God said, let us make man. In the beginning, you had God the Father, Son, the Holy Ghost. Hey, God said in the beginning, God created the heavens and earth. Who did God do? And God said, let there be light. Who's speaking? God. But what he said was, John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The speaking voice of God was Jesus Christ himself. And then the Bible says in chapter 1 and verse 2, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the deep.
Amen.
So God was in the beginning. The Word, the Son of God, was in the beginning. And the Spirit of God moved. There's the triune being of God. That's 1 John chapter number 5. You say, well, I don't believe in no Trinity. Well, you just don't believe truth. God's a triune being. And when he said, let us make man, look at it, here it is, verse 26. And God said, let us make man in our image. How's he going to make him? God's a spirit.
Yeah.
You can't see a spirit. You're going to make him in God's image? He said, let us make man in our image after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. Who said that? Say it again, Levi. In his image. That's an important word there. God made him in his image. Genesis 5 said he made him in his likeness. His likeness is God's image. So he made him in God's image. And he said, let's make him in our image. So he created him, male and female created he them. And God blessed them, verse 28. And God said to them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. And they had dominion. So God created man in his likeness. Look back in Genesis chapter number 5. God created him in his likeness. But after the fall, Genesis 3, Adam plumbed the world of the sin. God said, you're going to surely die. His spirit is dead. Now he can't. Now everybody after Adam cannot be made in the image of God. Because God's not an unclean spirit. God's a holy spirit. And his son. And God himself. And he made him in his image. And when he made Adam, he made him perfect. He had a perfect soul. He had a perfect spirit. He had a perfect body. All he had to do was listen to God. He put him in the best environment he could live in, and he still failed. And he plunged the world into sin, and he died. And God said, I created him in my likeness and in my image. Now look in Genesis 5, verse number 3. Look at this. The Bible says in verse 3, and Adam lived 130 years and begot a son in his what? Own likeness after his what? Levi? Image. And called his name Seth. Now Adam's having children. How's he having them? He's having them after his image. And when you get born after Adam's image, you're in Adam's book.
Amen.
And that's what you got right here. You got people that's got a body with a dead spirit and a soul that's laying in the balance of where it's going to spend eternity. Hey, that image is lost. The image of God's been lost. Hey, he was perfect in God's image, and now he's in Adam's image, is fallen, and everybody's born in that book of death. And the world's born now. And they need to somehow get in God's book of life. The only way you can get in God's book of life is get that image back you lost. How do you get an image back? So much for work salvation. I mean, you know it's very foolish that people think they can go to heaven by going to church. You know what your problem is? You got a dead spirit. There ain't no church membership going to quicken your spirit.
Amen.
It ain't going to happen. There's no baptism of waters. There's not enough oceans and creeks and rivers and baptistries to put a quickening spirit inside of you. There's not enough preachers that can lay their hands on you to make it happen. There's not enough Bible you can read. There's not enough prayers you can pray. Hey, you got to get that image back that you were made in the image of God. If you're going to have a relationship with God and go home to be with God, that dead spirit's got to be quickened.
Yeah,
amen. That's Ephesians 2:1. And you who had been quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sin, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of the world. You know why I walked according to the course of the world? Because we had a dead spirit, and our spirit liked dead things.
Right.
And we spoke dead language, amen. And we walked in deadly places and smelled deadly fumes, amen, and lived a deadly life is what we did. But one day the Holy Ghost came by and convicted that dead spirit to trust Jesus Christ. And if you ever trusted him to be saved, God quickened your spirit and put you in the book of life.
Amen.
This is the generation of the book of Adam. This is the book of the generations of Jesus Christ. You're in one of the two books.
Amen.
You're either in God's image or Adam's. Everybody's in one of them. And it all hinges on what you've done with Jesus. After Adam's fall, all were created in Adam's image with a dead spirit. Before I go any further, look at this verse 2. He said he made male and female, created he them, right? Look at that. And blessed them and called their name what? What did God call their name? Who was it? It was Adam and Eve. God called their name. And he called both of them by the same name. Do you know that's the way God designed that thing to be? One man and one woman coming together with a union, and they become one. And God called them Adam. That's why the principle's been down through history. When people get married, what do? They take the name of their husband. Because they're one now, right? God called their name Adam. Here's something interesting. Look back to chapter 3. Adam falls, right? Takes the forbidden fruit. His spirit is dead, right? Genesis chapter number 3, look in verse number 20. Adam is, God's given him the curse there. What's going to happen to the serpent, to the wife, to him? And the Bible said, after God has given him that curse, the Bible said in verse 20, and Adam called his wife's name what?
Eve.
Eve, because she was the mother of what? Adam called her Eve. God called her Adam. He said, what's the big indication there? Amen. You ain't got the same name, you just got the same last name. You know what? Eve, the mother of all living. You know what fallen, this is after Adam had fell. He gave his wife her name after the fall. He gave his wife her name with a dead spirit. And he called her Eve. You know what he's saying? She's the mother of all living. Do you know what a dead spirit will say? Hey, we're the mother of all living. If life's going to come, it's going to come from us. And he called her Eve. Hey, she's going to bring forth life. You know what a fallen man's problem is? He thinks all life comes from man.
Yeah.
No, life comes from God.
Yeah,
and God called him Adam. God said, I brought life, and you can't bring it so much.
Yeah, amen.
A man and a woman can come together and have children, but if God don't bring on that thing, hey, God's the author of life.
Yeah, amen.
Hey, that dead spirit that you got, who can bring that life? You know what the mother church says, the mother of harlots? You get it from the mother church. You get it from Mary. You get it from this Holy Communion. Hey, she's the giver of life. Hey, hogwash. There ain't nothing that can give life. It puts you out of that dead book into that living book, but Jesus Christ.
Yeah, amen.
He called her Eve. God called her Adam. Fallen man believes that all life is physical. It's physical. It's something you can do. That's why people preach it all the time. Hey, get your life cleaned up. I believe you ought to clean your life up. That'll help your life. You know that?
Yeah.
Hey, go join. I believe you ought to join a church. I believe you ought to live clean and read and pray. But you ain't gonna fix that thing that you got, that image problem, by anything physical.
Amen.
It ain't gonna happen by physical deed. That's what the problem was with Cain and Abel. Remember that story back in the beginning? Hey, Abel brought the sacrifice of the Lord. But Cain brought him the fruit of the ground, physical works and efforts that he could bring. And God rejected that offering because that thing that you need is something spiritual, not something physical.
Amen.
It's got to be a life of God. Mankind believes that everything's physical. Man's problem is that he was born wrong.
Yeah, amen.
That ain't popular. You were born wrong.
Amen.
You people watching on the internet, you were born wrong.
Yeah, amen.
You got a birth problem. You say, well, I think I'm pretty good. That's your problem. Now look what the Bible says. You know, let's look at the oldest book they say in your Bible, the book of Job. First one written down in Holy Scriptures, God penned down in our King James Bible, was the book of Genesis. But the book of Job's, people say, is the oldest book out there. Job, man's problem is that he's born wrong. We're born in the image of Adam. Job 14:1. Look. Let's let God be true and every man a liar.
Amen.
Job 14:1. Man that is born of a what? A woman is a few days and what? Everybody ought to be able to say amen right there. Man that is born of a woman is a few days and full of troubles. Look in chapter number 15. Job 15. Look in verse number 14. Might not even have to turn. Depends on how big the font is in your Bible. Job 15:14. What is man that he should be clean? That's a good question. And he that is born of a woman, that he should be what?
Righteous.
Can he be born righteous? Can he be made righteous if he's born of a woman? What is it? That's a good question. Look in Job 25. Job 25. Man's problem is he's born wrong. He's born into sin. He's born lost.
Amen.
You say, preacher, that ain't fair. Adam done it. I say Adam done it. Let me ask you a question. How's your life been?
Yeah.
Come on, brother.
Did Adam twist your arm and make you do the sin that you've been doing?
Yeah, go ahead. Amen.
No, it was your choice.
Amen.
Man's born with an innocency until he comes to an age of accountability. A lot of people try to throw that thing at 12. There it is. Man, where they get that number? It ain't Bible. Hey, where is that number? I don't know where it is. Hey, there's some people that's 99 years old and ain't got capability in their mind to understand they never reached it. It's not an age. It's a condition when God got you right for the picking, amen.
Yeah.
Hey, when is it? Would you? I've heard people say they got saved when they were 5. Some people get saved when they were 30. Hey, so if somebody can actually get saved when they was 5 years of age, you know what? Hey, they were accountable of sin and righteousness and judgment of God.
Yeah.
Hey, you know what the problem is? Man's born a sinner.
Yeah, amen.
And until he comes that age of accountability, you say, what if a baby dies? That baby goes to heaven. I mean, it's clear in the Bible, amen. Bathsheba and David had that child died and never came to any kind of age of accountability. Amen. And David said, man, I can't bring her back, but I can go to where they're at.
Amen.
Amen. Babies are in heaven. I ain't no doubt. All these aborted youngins, God's just filling up the kingdom with them.
Yeah, amen.
Sad generation, the way to fill it up, ain't it?
Right. Amen.
Amen. But somebody comes to that age, that enlightenment of the Lord, and they know, and they can begin to make a choice between good and evil. Hey, when you got to that age and you begin to make a choice, hey, was something you had a conscience inside of you that God gave you to let you know it wasn't right.
Amen.
And you went against that conscience and got into your sin. Hey, now you're accountable.
Yeah, amen.
You say, well, Adam, no, you had a choice and you made it. Look at the road you went in.
Yeah, amen.
You're in that book, and it ain't a good book to be in. Job 25:4. The Bible says, man, I tell you, what is it, preacher? Man's got a problem. He was born wrong. Job 25:4. How then can a man be justified with God? Or how can he be clean that is born of a woman? That's a good question.
How can he be clean? He's born of a woman. It's clearly he's in the book of the generations of Adam that have died. How can he be made clean? Psalms 51. Look at this. Psalms 51. Man's got a problem. He was born wrong. Hey, until you realize you were born wrong, you ain't never going to get saved.
Amen.
Until you realize you're a sinner and accountable to a holy God, you're never going to repent and turn to God.
Amen.
Psalms 51. Look in verse 5. He said, behold, here's what David said. I was shapen in iniquity. Listen. And in sin did my mother conceive me. What's man's problem? He was born wrong. It's more than... You want to get a little technical? Look in Genesis 5. He was born wrong. It's obvious. It's clear you were born wrong. Genesis 5, verse 1 and 2, the first man was made in the image of God. Verse 3, everybody else is made in the image of Adam. And that image has a dead spirit. And everybody's born with that dead spirit. And something's got to change you back into the image of God. You got to get the image back. You don't believe me? Look in the New Testament. Look in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Your image is... You say, well, I got an image. No, that ain't the image I'm talking about. I'm talking about that thing inside of you that was supposed to be perfect and it was like God when in the beginning when Adam was made. That mankind lost. And people say, well, I'm born in the image of God. You're not born in the image of God. You're born in the image of all that.
Amen.
There was one born in the image of God and that was the first Adam. And the second Adam. That second Adam came in the image of God. Why did he come in the image of God? To fix the image that the first Adam lost. Look at this thing. Look, 2 Corinthians chapter number 4. And this is what the devil hates. You know what the devil's trying to do to you? He's trying to keep you from getting that image back. He's trying to keep you from being born again. He's trying to keep you from getting that spirit that's dead, quickened and enlightened by God. 2 Corinthians 4:4, in whom the God of this world, that's a little G, right?
Yeah.
Have blinded the minds of them that believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ. You know what we need to preach? The glorious gospel of Christ. What is the glorious gospel of Christ? That's 1 Corinthians chapter number 15. How that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures and was buried and rose again the third day according to the scriptures. That's the blessed gospel of Christ. How that somebody died to take your place to put the image back in you that is lost. Look. And whom the God of this world had blinded the minds of them that believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the what? Image of God should shine unto them. You know what the devil's trying to keep you away from? That image problem you got.
Yeah, amen.
Look in Colossians chapter number 3. You got an image problem. Listen to me. You can believe all the heretic preaching you want to believe. There ain't one thing in this world that you can do to get that spiritual image that was lost by Adam.
Amen. Preach it, bro.
There ain't enough good works. There ain't enough praying. There ain't enough church going. I ain't gonna fill your churches up, is it? There ain't enough money you can put in the plate. Hey, man. Hey, the only thing's gonna fix your image. It ain't gonna be giving money to the church. It ain't gonna be putting your name on a church membership. It ain't gonna be putting yourself in some baptism of water or turning over a new leaf. That is the efforts of your work. That's the efforts of Eve, amen. The mother of all living works on your own. You know, a lot of preachers preach a bondage of church membership. I believe it'll go to church.
Amen.
It'll help your life.
Yeah, man. Amen.
And praying and giving and all these things are right. I believe you're doing it for the right motive. But a lot of preachers are scared if they preach it that way, they're going to lose church members and money in the play. You know what? They're going to die and go to hell trusting their own church membership and works to get to heaven.
Yeah,
when
amen.
It's an image problem that God's got to give them back.
Amen.
It's the new birth. It's the glorious gospel of Christ. Colossians 3 and 10. The Bible says this. And have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after what? The image of him that what? Created him. He said walk in that new man. In the image of somebody that created him. It's a creation. It's a work of God. Amen. Look in Hebrews chapter number 1. Man's lost the image. You got to get the image back. You'll say, but preacher, I'm going to start doing better in my life. I hope you do. It'll probably help your life. It probably will. It probably might. It could very well help your marriage. It could very well help you on your job. It can get a lot of hell out of your life. Get a lot of heartache and trouble out of your life. But if you never get born again and get that image right, you're going to die and go to hell.
Amen.
I believe in getting right and living right and spitting right and, you know, dressing right and all that stuff. Hey, but you must be born again. You got an image problem that only God can fix.
Yeah, amen.
God's got to bring it back. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1. God, who in sundry times and in sundry times and divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. Look, verse 3. Who being the brightness of his glory and the express what?
Image
of his person.
Yeah, amen.
Upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. Hey, he was the image of God that the first Adam lost. The second Adam brought it back to the world and sat down at the right hand of God.
Amen.
You know what he said? Be mad coming to me. Let him come.
Yeah,
amen. Man has lost God's image and needs it back. Amen. The only way to get God's image back is to be restored by God by being born again.
Yeah, amen.
Look in John 3. John 3. It's a new birth. It's an act of God. John 3:3. Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, you there? Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. What's God telling Nicodemus? You got to be born again. How do you get born again? How'd you get here? My granddaughter got here today. She was birthed physically. That's one birth. Everybody here has been born physically. You've had a first birth. But God said you got to be born again. What's God speaking about? God's speaking about that dead image. That dead spirit that's got to be placed back into you by the second birth. By the glorious gospel, the light of Jesus Christ. The image of God.
Amen.
He's the only one that can give it. Nicodemus didn't understand that either. Look at verse 4. Nicodemus said unto him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time in his mother's womb and be born? Was he being sarcastic? Was he being sincere? God said you got to be born again. Nicodemus trying to figure that out. He said, born again. So you telling me, I'm an old man. Go back in my mother's womb and come out again. Look at verse 5. Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except the man be born of water. What's he talking about? A first birth and a second birth. Hey, before that granddaughter got here today, before you got here, the water grew. Physical. That's what it is. It's a first birth. Look, that which is born of the water, he said, verily, verily, I say in the verse 5, except a man be born of the water and of the what? Spirit, capital S, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. There's a lot of people take the verse 5 and say, well, you got to be baptized and believe. Water and spirit. The only problem is it don't line up with the Bible.
Amen.
He's talking about being born again. How do you know that, preacher? Well, let's keep reading. Verse 6. That which is born of the what? Flesh. There's the water birth. Is flesh. And that which is born of the spirit is what? Spirit. That's the spiritual birth. Marvel not, I say unto thee, ye must be what? Born again. God said you got to have new birth. You got to get that image back. And it comes by birth of Almighty God. How do you get that birth? That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thy heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. You got to come to God as a hell-bent sinner realizing your image is broke, you're a sinner, you're in the wrong book, and I need my name in the book of life. I need through my spirit quickening, and only you can do it by your death, burial, and resurrection. And I'm trusting you to save my soul, because my efforts can't get me out of this book. Can't even get you to chapter 2. You got to be born again.
Amen.
It's a heart belief. For with the heart, man believeth unto righteousness.
Amen.
So born again. You know what man's problem is? Look, it's just like in the end. Look at the end. Look in Revelation 13, in the end. Man tends to reject God's image. He rejects God's image for another image. Is that what's going on today? People say, preacher, it can't be that simple. You mean trust Jesus? Yes, that simple. He's the only one that can do a spiritual transaction on your life. All these physical things can't make it. It's a spiritual problem you got. That's what's wrong with the world today. They think we're going to bring in the kingdom. We're going to make it happen. That's all physical.
Yep.
It's got to be done spiritual.
Amen.
The kingdom of God is not meat and drink. It's not physical thing, but it's righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
They're spiritual things. The spiritual birth. The kingdom of God is spiritual. It's within you. It's a new birth. It's the image of God. Man's problem is he don't want God's image, but he'll take any other image that'll come. And that's what you find in the book of Revelation of the Great Tribulation. The image of the Antichrist shows up, and they'll take that image over God every time.
Yeah, amen.
That's what's sad. Look in Revelation chapter 13, verse 15. The Bible says this, and he had power to give life unto the image of the beast. It was a deadly wound that took place. And that image has been resurrected. That, he says that the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. And he caused all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive the mark in their right hand and their foreheads, and that no man might buy or sell, save that he had the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. Here is wisdom. Let him that have understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man, and his number is 666. You know what he did? You know what they do over in the book of Revelation? You know what the truth is? Hey, they'll receive the wrong image over the right image every time.
Yep.
And he'll force it on them. I'll say this. I don't believe that the COVID shot is the mark of the beast.
Yeah, amen.
It's not. But I'll tell you what I believe it is. There's a lot of things that you might have some ideas about it, but this is one I'm very sure of. It is a forerunner of a thought process that eases your conscience to take what they force you to take, or you can't buy, sell, or trade.
Right.
That's what it is. It's easing of the conscience.
Right.
You're going to take this shot, or you ain't going to college.
Right.
Or you ain't going to have a job.
Right.
You can't operate.
Right.
And that spirit is just easing the conscience of people. Now, I'm not saying it's bad if you took the shot. Help yourself. Do whatever you think's right in your conscience. But what I'm saying is the principle behind it is, there's a lot of other things I might believe it is. It ain't my business to tell you what I think. But I know it's a principle and a spirit behind easing people's conscience of following the mark of the beast.
Right.
That's the truth. Now, I hope you didn't misunderstand what I said. If you've had it, help yourself. You do whatever you think's right, will help your health. I don't care. I ain't going to tell you what to do either way.
Amen.
But I'm going to tell you that's what it does spiritually.
Amen.
There's no doubt about that. If you took it, you can't regret it. You can't disagree with that. It's a thing that they're forcing. The image. He died. Look Genesis 5. Let's stop here. Genesis 5. Look here. The generations. Verse 4 says, and the days of Adam after he had begotten Seth were 800 years, and he begat sons and daughters. Somebody said, well, how long were they in the garden before they sinned? Who knows? We don't know. The Bible says, verse 5, and the days that that Adam lived were 930 years, and he
died. Death.
You know what's coming?
Death.
It's as sure as life.
Amen.
Chapter 5, verse 5, is the first recorded physical death. We know Cain slew Abel, but this is a physical death. 5 is the number of death. Death's coming your way. He died naturally. The devil, Satan, both of them have 5 letters. Christ had 5 deadly wounds. Hey, David, when he went down to the fight Goliath, he got 5 smooth stones. I've been trying to debate that thing, whether the number 5 means grace or it means death. Man, it's way more outweighs death than it does grace. Now, I know it's the death of Jesus Christ that brought grace to me and you, but there's death. When they holler, when somebody's going down, they holler, Mayday, Mayday, Mayday. Why they holler Mayday? Why not February Day? January, February, March, April, May. Mayday, Mayday, Mayday. I believe about all the stress calls, even of a ship going down, are associated with that thing. Planes going down. Tragedies happen. Amen. Acts 5:5 is Ananias and Sapphira dropped dead in the New Testament. Romans 5, Adam and Christ's death is expounded on over and over. Amen. Revelation 5, the lamb slain appears. Amen. Hey, here's your one. That brazen altar that was laid out before the tabernacle where they offered up the sacrifices for the sins of the people of the Old Testament. You know how big they built it? 5x5. That thing was dead, man. He went up to death in that thing. The smell, the stench, the sight of it all. Hey, man. Hey, you know what Christ come to do? He come to get you out of the book of the generations of Adam, put you in the book of the generations of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
He come to give you life. Let me read this to you, and I'm going to stop it right here. Amen. John 11:25. Listen to this. He come to give life. John 11:25, he said this. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this?
Amen.
Do you believe it?
Amen.
Do you believe it? That if you trust Jesus Christ, he can quicken your spirit, bring back the image, put you in the book of life, and take you out of the book of death?
Amen.
Do you believe? That's what he asked that woman. You believe? It's up to you. We can present the truth, show you the truth, but you got to believe. You got to trust him. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Maybe you want to pray tonight about something that's going on in your life. Maybe something you heard in the sermon tonight, whatever. These altars are open. Good time to be in prayer meeting.